Welcome to Heroes Don't Take Water Breaks, starring McClain Westbrook, Corey Sarabia, and Gage Westbrook.
You said I could introduce myself, McClain.
And it typically stars Jaden Payne as well, but he's not here today. He's sick of some ailment or another. We're not quite sure. I hope we're all ready for another yawn-packed half hour. Coming up right now, we have A Rainy Day in San Francisco, written by Jake Westbrook and adapted from an original script by Dan Orkin. This is the city. 2 million people walk these streets. Amongst them are the most kind-hearted souls you'd ever hope to meet. Underneath that cheery exterior, there's a seedy underbelly in this town. The criminal element that haunts the night. The steely-eyed thugs who could be sitting right next to you on the bus and you never even know about it. That's where I come in. My name is Saturday. Jack Saturday. I'm a detective for the police department. My partner's Dan Smith.
So I could introduce myself, Jack.
You lost that privilege when you mixed up my coffee order yesterday. Listen to me now, Mr. and Mrs. Average American. Even as we speak, the most unspeakable of illegal activities are going on right underneath our noses. That's where your local police come in. We're the first line of defense against this vicious element. Take, for example, that shady-looking character over there. Bandana over his face, gun in his hand, and I think he double-parked to boot. Come on, Dan, we've got a sworn duty to uphold.
All right, lady, stick him up.
Oh, my. I'm afraid I don't have much money on me. Just this quarter.
I'll take it.
Hold it right there. Pardon me for butting in, but say, can you take that bandana off so we can look each other square in the eye?
No. What do you want?
Jack, his gun's poking me in the side.
Well, don't stand so close to him. Have some respect for people's personal space, Dan.
Sorry.
What do you want anyway?
Do you realize you're double parked?
Am I?
Yes. Yes, you are.
That's a shame, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess it is.
Does it look like rain to you guys?
I don't think so.
Looks like rain to me.
Well, it's been nice talking.
Yep.
Definitely rain clouds up there.
But hold on just 1 second there, citizen. What exactly were you doing with that gun?
I was cleaning it.
Are you sure that's all you were doing?
Well, I may have done one or two little things with it.
Should have worn my raincoat.
What kind of little things?
Nothing really. I stole a quarter from the little lady.
A quarter?
Yeah.
And what exactly prompted you to steal that quarter?
I needed a quarter.
It's such a petty sum, though. What could you possibly do with a quarter?
Oh, if it does rain and a suit gets wet, it's gonna shrink like the dickens.
I don't know. I'd probably invest it.
Invest it?
You know, in a little startup company or something.
Wouldn't that be kind of hard? Don't you think all those gang tattoos might keep you from being thought of as a professional?
Well, it wouldn't be anything big. Just me and my garage. I'd slave away there every night, you know, making a handcrafted product. Something I could be proud of.
Mm-hmm. That's mighty industrious.
Ma always said I was a big dreamer.
You only should have checked the barometer this morning.
It'd be a nice little product, too. Sturdy. American-made.
Oh, and what would you have called it?
I'd probably name it after my father.
And his name?
Irving.
Irving?
You got a problem with that?
No, I think Irving is a very nice name.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah, I'd love to own an Irving.
Well, you can't.
Why not?
Because Irving's son is going to jail for armed robbery.
Either of you have an umbrella?
Yes, we are the front line. We take the risks. We put our lives on the line. Remember that next time you see an officer. Remember his brave service to you and your community. Remember his commitment to stamping out the evil in our towns and cities, so that every child, both now and in the future, can dream. They can dream of a brighter tomorrow. They can dream of a prosperous nation. They can dream that every family, no matter how rich or poor, will have an Irving in their home. Oh, sure. You can always buy a Chinese Irving, but will it be a quality Irving? In this segment of the show, we intend to bring you radio plays of only the finest caliber and class. This week, we bring you a look into classical literature. Dim the lights for effect, please.
This is radio, right?
Well, this helps me get into a somber mood. Just do it, okay?
Fine.
Robert Frost once wrote, "I shall be telling you this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. A touching thought indeed, but it raises the question, can a trivially matter so inconsequential as which path in the forest one takes really make all the difference? Is it so relevant to the successes or failures you'll experience in the future? We here at Heroes Don't Take Water Breaks attempt to answer this ponderable by presenting a tale of two pioneers whose names have been lost to history. These two also came upon a fork in the road, and what follows is how the pair came to reach a decision.
Now, Cletus, I told you that bear wasn't no thing to mess with.
I know you told me, Jethro. You keep telling me for the past 3 miles, I reckon.
Hey, don't get angry with me if you... Well, I'll be. Looky here, a fork in the road.
What you so excited about there, Jethro?
Why, don't you know two roads diverging can make all the difference?
Huh?
So which of these should we take, huh?
Well, why not that one there, I reckon?
Why that one?
Well, it's not as broad over. Easier to traverse, I reckon.
Hold it now. You're going about this all wrong.
What do you mean?
You want to go where everyone else is gone. Where's your pioneering spirit?
Well, I left it at home, I reckon. Come on, if everyone else was gone there, then it's safe, right?
Safe, smafe. Nobody ever got anywhere in this world but following everybody else.
Obviously, the people that took this path did. Everyone takes it.
Because everyone's like you. I was following the crowd. Do your own thing. Be your own person.
I listen to you, Jethro. Look, if this one is well-worn, then more people have taken it. Obviously safer. I'm going this way.
Well, I'm going this way.
Fine.
Fine. I'm going.
Good.
Yep. Walking away now.
Better keep on going, man.
I am. Yep, here I go.
Watch out for that ledge, Jethro! No! Jethro! He's gone. I never got to say goodbye.
And so, the lone pioneer must now go on his way. Alone. In solitude. Void of company. Nobody to...
Okay, we get it. He's alone.
Anyway, the lone pioneer eventually finds his way to a settlement. There, he sets up a homestead. Things move on steadily as the years go by. He farms, but as begins a family, he finds it hard to produce enough for his growing clan. Until one day, while toiling in his field...
Old Man River. Old Man River. Man, this is hard work. If I don't harvest all this, we could go hungry by winter. If only there was... Say, look in there coming up that road. It's one of them fancy stretch limo wagons, I reckon. Well, God, somebody must be well off.
The limo wagon stops in front of the field. The door opens and a familiar face appears.
Hello there, my good farmer. Is there any... Cletus, is that you?
Jethro! I thought you were dead after you fall off that cliff, I reckon.
Of course not. I fell into a natural spring. That inspired me to start up a British water bottle company. I'm now the richest man west of the Appalachians.
Oh, it's so good to see you after all these years.
You too. How you been?
Well, not so good, I reckon. Seems I wasn't cracked up for pioneering or farming.
That's no problem, Cletus. I've got a spot for you.
You mean?
Yes. You're going to be my head labeler for my water bottles.
Oh, Jethro, I'm so sorry for all I did to you, I reckon. Thank you so much. Can you forgive me?
Well, of course, Cletus. Oh, I took the road less traveled by, and that has made all the difference.
This has been Heroes Don't Take Water Breaks presenting The Road Not Taken, written by McLean Westbrook, starring Corey Sarabia,
Gage Westbrook,
and McLean Westbrook.
Make sure to check out our Facebook page. Be sure to like it. And email us if you have any comments or questions.
Hey, this is Heroes Don't Take Water Breaks. Here in the studio today with me, I've got Corey Sarabia.
Yo!
Gage Westbrook.
Yeah.
And I've also got Dane Tippmann, although he's not an actual active member of the discussion. I should have Jaden Payne with me as well. However, he is not here.
Sick.
Sick. As Maya's, actually, although I've... Then what's out? I'm actually here on the podcast today because I'm dedicated. Dedicated. Last week, we could have recorded an episode, but we didn't. Instead, we... 2 weeks ago, we could have recorded an episode, but we didn't.
Instead, we
let our friends at Not Quite Classic Theater, not a sponsor, take over and record an episode for us. If you'd like to hear more of their shenanigans, you can... Jay Westbrook and Casey Ferris is shenanigans. You can search for their podcast, Not Quite Classic Theater.
So this is the first podcast of 2017, right?
Yes, it is, Gage.
Wow. Yeah. We haven't... we totally haven't recorded a podcast since last year.
Episode was our Christmas episode, and that's...
Christmas.
All right, everyone.
It's
January 12th, right? Is the 12th?
Yeah, it's 12th.
All right. It's time. The Christmas lights need to come down. I don't care. Just at the very least, unplug them if you're too lazy to actually take them down. You don't have to turn them on every night.
Well, I
I'm sorry.
Especially if you're the Grinch stealing the Christmas lights.
I think I gotta take it down. Mine may or may not still be up. I don't even turn them on anymore. I just don't want to take them down.
You're smart and good.
What?
What?
All right, on the Friday before I went to break, Gage went to your house, and then we drove by to pick him up. And, yeah, I saw the house you were talking about with the Grinch Christmas tree lights. I thought, yeah, that's cool.
No, it's not cool. It's terrible.
I thought those are nice lights.
Clever.
It's clever.
It's clever, but it should be like a one-time
really,
thing. You
really
know?
Brings in. What do you guys think of Star Wars Rogue One?
The first two acts.
Corey didn't like decent. It as much as he wished he had. I can tell.
It was filled up. And the third act was really good.
I'm gonna agree with Gage there. This is honestly best movie of 2016.
I'd have to disagree.
I'm gonna agree with Corey.
Granted, I haven't seen the film. I elected not to see it. Instead, went and saw the film Hacksaw Ridge, which was a great movie. It was a good film. One of the best of the year, in my opinion.
Is it a horror movie?
No,
it's about World War II. What's he?
I'm mental.
Directed by Mel Gibson. He's not controversial at all.
Yes, it's glad that
he didn't. He didn't use racial slurs. Directed.
Excuse me while I die.
Also, you've got the person who in Hacksaw Ridge. You've got the guy who played Spider-Man, right? Andrew Garfield in a dramatic role. I wouldn't be able to take that movie seriously. It's like, I'm gonna go save you guys.
I think I saw a headline where Andrew Garfield is trying to move away from Spider-Man now because, you know, your career can only go so far when everyone sees you and it's like, oh, it's Spider-Man!
I confess, guys, I liked Amazing Spider-Man 2.
It wasn't good at all.
Oh, on the topic of superhero films and television series. Daredevil, am I right, guys? Such a good show.
I think I'm a little too, optimistic about movies. I don't really criticize movies very much. It's like, even if it wasn't that good of a movie compared to other movies, I'll be like, hey, that was pretty good.
That's literally what I do with every movie, with the exception of two.
I like watching movies, but I also like watching movies I enjoy. If I find a movie that sucks, that's bad, I'm going to call it out on it. I'm not just going to let it fly by. Like, oh, well, you could have done some things better, but overall, it was pretty entertaining. I mean...
McClane really takes a negative approach to anything that's popular.
What's one of the worst... I feel like I just saw a movie recently that everyone said was really good, but it was actually really bad. And I forget what... Oh, Blade Runner. Blade Runner sucked.
Well, I don't know.
There wasn't enough.
Blade Runner sucked.
It would have been a good movie, but it just wasn't enough action.
It was really bad, I gotta say.
Oh, well.
You can email me your hate at my email, Corey Sarabia.
Docs.
Wait, no, we gotta stop with those jokes. They're not funny anymore.
Yes, I've I've actually had demands made by terrorist groups that have been listening to our podcast. Yeah. And they will go through with their nefarious plans if we do not stop doing the following.
Kim Jong-il is a...
having sports in our skits. We've had 2 out of our 4 episodes, not including our guest episodes, that have included sports. I can no longer sing after our first episode. I'm not allowed to sing anymore. Not allowed to make doxing jokes.
And we're not.
And that's about it.
Oh, we can make fun of Corey's citizenship.
I wasn't even going to mention that, but alright.
That was just gone.
All right. Back on the track of movies.
All right.
Lawrence of Arabia, right, guys? Anybody see it?
Alright, Battlefield 1. We can't get back. We recently acquired an Xbox One at the Westbrook household.
Yeah, that's
which
an Xbox
is,
One S.
Which is a big step up, considering our last gaming console was a Wii from 2006. And we went from Madden 10 to Madden 17, which is quite a step in graphics.
Quite the jump.
Yeah.
Well, Madden 10 was a pretty great game, let's be honest.
It was a very cartoony game, but it was still a pretty good game. Madden 17, I only recently found out how to be good at it. And ever since then, we've stopped playing it and focused more on Battlefield instead.
Battlefield.
And I gotta say, Battlefield 1...
You're really
good
bad.
Game. It's a really good game. I gotta say, I suck at it. I'm not gonna lie. I suck at it hard.
Okay, so we play
campaign as mode. I'm okay at.
He cut me off.
Yes, I did. Campaign mode. I'm okay at. Multiplayer mode. I suck.
Yeah, you should see him. So we play as a group.
We play
all
in
watching
tandem.
The, all watching the TV, right? And when this guy's turn, we just point out interviews to him. Hey, look, shoot at that guy. He turns. She shoots at their feet.
Like, you're any better.
I'm much better.
I think
I have a KD ratio of at least 2.
Mm-hmm.
Which is pretty good for a beginner, Corey. Isn't that right?
All
right. Mr. PS4.
With me, when I play Battlefield 1, the campaign, I always, like, assume that the bots aren't going to be that good. So I, like, run in and I start shooting. And then there's, like, 10 of them. And then I can't outgun them and I die. So I'm like, oh, okay. And then I just rewind and then go again. And, you know, it's fun. I actually appreciate the campaign for the most part. The fact I like the story, I guess.
Yeah, well, the fact that they're all split into 6 different episodes. I like that.
The graphics on the game are really good, I gotta say. And since then, Gage's been trying to find other games on the Xbox, and Gage's picks have all sucked.
I like the games I pick, but nobody else.
Battlefield 1 so far has been the best game.
I feel like the cinematography in the multiplayer is more evident than the one in the single player, because in single player you've got kind of a linear path that you're going through, but in multiplayer you'll be in the trenches, you know, fighting it out with your team, going against the other team, and then some out of nowhere this giant behemoth will come in and there's planes flying over. It's really
I kind of see what you mean.
I'm about to butcher this name, but my favorite game mode, well, not favorite game mode, but my favorite map on operations is the German trench one, the Kaiser shot, I think it's called. That's my favorite one. Because I used the shotgun, right? So good in the trenches. But back to the campaign, right? Is they have war stories, so it's separated. Best one was the runner. Very good.
Mm.
And the second best was Avante Savoy. That was good.
I don't know what that was. I've never
you play Os. Can't move. I need to show.
Oh, was that the Italian one?
Yeah, it was the one where you play as the shock trooper.
Oh yeah, yeah, on Monte Grappa.
Yeah, I was trying to tell Corey that all those maps in the multiplayer, they're just reused from this.
You don't have to.
Right. Yeah, I do actually.
All right, now you do.
Mateo.
All right.
Wait, how is this not blocked?
Fandom. Wikia is not blocked by the school's Wi-Fi. What even is this?
Single player campaign of Battlefield 1, the player takes on the role of Lusa, Vince. I'm not gonna say that. In Royal Italian's army, our DD regiment, as he is in search for his brother Matteo, while fighting to push back.
I thought it was his friend Matteo.
No, Austro-Hungarian forces in the Italian Alps. All right. This is a really good one, but this map was used for Monte Grappa, like the entire Monte Avant. Never mind.
I've changed my playstyle drastically ever since the Martini Henry, which used to be the most OP gun in the game, got changed, or got nerfed, I should say.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
So now I play as Assault, and I honestly haven't played in a while, so I'm not that good anymore.
The campaign Nothing Is Written with Lawrence of Arabia.
Lawrence of Arabia,
I'm sorry. Corey messes me up every time. Corey of Arabia. And I gotta say, good graphics on that. And I think they based... I mean, I guess you have to, but it looked really similar to the actual movie in some places. Yeah. Of course, it would have to, I guess.
The name is Nothing Is Written, and that was like... Lawrence of Arabia's thing, and
Lawrence of Arabia is like a really, it's almost an uneventful movie, but I wouldn't call it boring. It's almost 4 hours long.
I like that movie. 3 hours and 40 minutes.
It was good, but it was weird.
Now I'm really interested in World War I, right? But there are basically no good movies about it, except newer ones that are romances, and you can't romanticize the bloodiest conflict in human history. I think 9 million people died and 21 million more were injured.
Sometimes you fall in love through the...
No, you don't.
Tragedy.
These are all people... Well, most of them were like 19, 20 years old. They were young. They were like, oh, this is going to be the greatest experience of my life. And then 9 million
I don't think anybody died. Thinks that going off to war, Gage.
What are you talking about?
That's a cliche.
Is that what you think, Gage?
No. But no, that was the mindset then. It's like, this is going to be an adventure. And then, yeah. Like in Gallipoli.
Not familiar with that at all.
It's Mel Gibson and I forget the name of the other actor, but they're both like sprinters. And they both go out to war. And one of them is chosen to be the runner in the trenches to run back and forth with messages. Yeah. Spoiler alert, this movie was made in the 80s. You don't need to put a spoiler.
Soundtrack's really bad, too. Oh, yeah. It's a weird 80s techno soundtrack, which doesn't match it at all.
And the other guy, who was born, lied his way into getting into the military, saying he was older than what he actually was. And he got in, and he was one of the first people to storm the Ottomans' trenches in Gallipoli, and he gets gunned down. But in his running coach at the beginning of the movie was like, hey, you're as fast as a leopard, run, yeah. And so that's what he said before he ran out to get gunned down was, as fast as a leopard. How fast are your legs? Fast as a leopard.
All right.
Yeah. What are they going to do? Run. Anyway, but I thought that was an okay movie. Still, there was only action, and it was just a bunch of people dying in the last 10 minutes.
The last 10 minutes were the best part of the film, though.
Yeah. Oh, Mel Gibson, again.
Also the best part of the film. Mel Gibson's the best part of most.
Very uneventful. Very uneventful movie, actually. Just like the other one. So, yeah. Corey, tell us your thoughts on some classical movie that's horror-oriented. Come on, go.
All right, I'm not going to lie. I don't watch very many movies.
What?
I actually, I do not watch movies very often. I don't know, I could be playing video games. I guess I can't sit still for very long.
Okay, Corey, remind me of something. I'm going to make a bold prediction here, say virtual reality will not be the future of gaming. I don't think so. I think it's going to be augmented, like Microsoft HoloLens. That's going to be bigger than... virtual reality.
I don't think augmented reality could expand as much as virtual reality, though. I mean, because you've got... With augmented reality, you have to have limited space, right? Because it's you're making real life a game.
Well, you could be anywhere. Just strap on a virtual reality...
All right, but
augmented reality headset, and boom. And in a VR, you only get the little room.
All right, but with augmented reality, you don't need to play, maybe arcade games. Like, you could play... I could see you with your augmented reality glasses on or whatever. You're at the park, and you are playing somebody else in augmented chess or something.
You've never watched the product commercial. When I watched the product commercial for HoloLens just the other day, they were showing some stuff but you could totally do, virtual reality kind of thing, but only, you could... Each person would have a gun in their hands or something, and it could be a first-person shooter, but it would be a life. which I think is going to be a better experience because you can see everything around you, so it feels more realistic.
True.
Virtual reality, you're limited by the capabilities of the headset, and I don't think that's good.
All right, let me just jump into the loser talk here to end the show. This was a... little dig on you guys. See there?
Yeah.
It was the loser talk.
Oh, book. There's a book. Ready Player One. Highly recommend. I asked Corey to read it. Never did.
I saw that book a couple times. Never read it.
I read it. It's about virtual reality. And
yeah, you would read a book like that.
Not a bad book. Corey still won't read it.
No.
Making a movie out of it. Directed by Steven Spielberg.
Most things I find are directed by Steven Spielberg.
I'm kind of excited for
him. Well, next week we might have Jaden back. We might not.
I hope so.
He might be dead by that time.
I hope so. I think it's more dynamic as a three-person set. Not the... It's all Jaden here. Wait, cut this out. I don't want him to hear this.
Well, already last week we kind of had to go... Not last week, but the last episode we had to go without Jaden for a little while. So, until next time, dear listener, this is McLean Westbrook.
Corey Sarabia.
Gage Westbrook.
Here for Heroes.
Hello, welcome to Not Breaks. Quite Classic Theater. Sponsored this week by the raging forces of nature outside and the wolves that are circling the shack right now.
Meg, Jake, and Katie, they watch movies. Not great movies.
We watched a movie.
Yes,
I guess it can technically be considered. There were images, and there was sound that went along with those images.
Yeah, for a good hour and a half.
With historical and educational reenactments.
Coming up on Discovery, 40 minutes of yelling in the forest.
Hey, Clem, we gotta get the shotgun! Let's rape him out!
I'm yelling for no good reason!
We're gonna die out here! We're all gonna die out here!
I wholeheartedly agree!
Deep, logical analysis of some of the most thought-provoking films.
Do cats have literal 9 lives? Like, what happens to their body? Do they have a spawn point? And is it in Christopher Walken's shop? Listen, over here, we have this metal thing on the floor. You don't want to stand too close to that, because every time a cat dies, it appears here. If you stand too close to this, your foot will become a cat.
Meaningful insights on the nature of filmmaking.
I feel like the most serious listener ever. It's like, it tunes in to seriously know the intricacies of the plot.
What actually happens in the movie? Stop with your foolishness!
Serious intellectual discussion.
It has 3 million guns. It can kill anyone. But don't get it near stairs, because it will awkwardly trip down them and scream like a animal that's being ripped apart by
just
a hawk.
Just like my Aunt Gladys on Thanksgiving 2007.
She hates hawks.
Yeah, we need to lay someone off, and I think we need to do it in a way that gets, like, really huge ratings, okay?
Okay.
I think we stick them all on an island and wait for one to die.
Yeah, totally. I'm on board with that.
Behind-the-scenes secrets and Easter eggs.
Here's what actually happened in Harry and the Hendersons. All those like, gang members and stuff that took over the streets, it was just Starbucks.
Starbucks.
The coffee revolution actually just happened at the same time.
Join our guides on the fascinating landscape of cinematography.
His head made me laugh for 5 minutes straight.
Yeah, it did. We had to stop the movie. It was ridiculous.
It was it's a funny head.
It looks like a sack of mashed potatoes sitting atop a mountain of more mashed potatoes. Wow. You really like that guy's head.
Don't waste your time at some overpriced college. Get your wisdom from these guys.
They're going out in the forest and breaking stuff and yelling with guns. And they're offended. Tell you what, we're gonna straight gut this creature for hurting our family. So, dude, your family's 3 states over. What are you mad about?
And a whole host of colorful background characters.
Oh, we should probably check on the guys on the island. I completely forgot they were out there.
Hey, why'd you burn me? I'm not dead yet.
Mitchell, you didn't have a pulse when they checked.
Huh. I haven't had a pulse since I was 23 years old. Guys, we got dinner.
Rando, that's a poisonous jellyfish.
Yeah, I mean, was wondering why it tickled. Friendly guy, though.
Now, did this lady touch any of you? Yeah, he touched my shoulder. You are marked for death. You see, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, this lady's in fact a raven mocker.
Did the Blair Witch get hauled up before an investigative council to go through hearings and stuff?
I don't see what the problem is.
Clearly she broke a few rules.
All I want to do is bring some kids out in the forest, maybe kill them, then we're going to go out in the forest and camp. That's trespassing!
Did you have a sign up?
Yes, I did. It was the stick
I
man.
I don't believe that's legally permissible. Seems like something you would
I typed it in Wingdings. It's been around since Windows 93.
I know.
The most concise and understandable reviews for the discerning filmgoer.
Jake, how many murderous, rolling death machines impersonating a 1950s Western would you give this out of 5?
No, I would probably give it like a 2.
The best movie review show? Of the worst movies around.
Slam dunk in the funk.
Not Quite Classic Theater.